Praise the Lord, everybody. Amen. So glad to be in the house of the Lord tonight. Amen. And thank the Lord for a little bit more normal weather today. Anybody see the snow yesterday? There is a pretty good possibility that what you experienced yesterday, you will never experience again the rest of your life. I've lived over 48 years, and to my memory, I've never seen it snow past the middle of April. And so if the weather pattern continues and it's another 48 years or so before it happens again, I will be quite an aged man. And so, boy, you just never know about Oklahoma weather. Amen. I am appreciative that it's taken its time warming up, though. And because I know a little bit about this, I've lived in Oklahoma long enough to know that when it decides to get hot, it takes care of business. Amen. Welcome to everybody here tonight. Appreciate the liberty of the Holy Ghost that's in this place. I really do. I really appreciate the Lord. Romans, the 12th chapter. We'll read a couple of verses of scripture from Romans chapter 12. And then some more in Ephesians chapter 5. Praise the Lord. I was almost overwhelmed, if I could use that word today, not in a bad sense, but with gratitude and appreciation, spending time in God's presence today, and just not on specific things, but in just generality, the things that God has been doing for us. Not just of late, but for a while now, in this season that God, I'll say it this way, has afforded us and allowed us to be a part of. And I appreciate that. And there is a price to pay to be ushered into a very special revival season. I know that we have not tapped into the depths of it yet. There's more where this come from. And you don't just pay the price to enter in and then stop sacrificing. But it is a lifestyle. It is a pursuit of God. Every service, every prayer meeting, every song service, every opportunity. Amen. We avail ourselves, and that is pleasing to the Lord. Amen. It pleases God that we give him our full attention. Amen. Romans chapter 12, familiar verses of 1 and 2. I beseech you therefore, brethren. Everybody say brethren.
Brethren.
What does that mean? He's writing to apostolics. He's writing to the church at Rome. Romans chapter 1, to all that be in Rome called to be saints. Romans chapter 10 was not written to sinners. Confessing with your mouth and believing on your heart. That's not for sinners, that's for saints. That's not how you get in the church, that's how you stay in the church. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. I believe everybody with any sense at all tonight wants to do the will of God. You want to fulfill the will of God in your life. And this tells us how to help this happen. We're not conformed to the world. I can't do the will of God following worldly patterns. Can't do the will of God dressing like the world, living like the world, acting like the world, listening to the world's music, doing things that worldly people do. I can't do the will of God and do the will of man. Amen. But the will of God happens when I'm transformed by the renewing of my mind. I'm submitted to the will of God and the hand of God. Even proving what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Ephesians chapter 5. Again, Paul is writing to a Gentile church, writing to people that used to be sinners but are now saints because they've obeyed the gospel. They've repented of their sins, been baptized in Jesus' name, been filled with the Holy Ghost. Even at Ephesus, where a city was wholly given over to idolatry, a demonic stronghold, to say the least. And God raised up a powerful apostolic church at Ephesus. Paul writes in verse 8 of Ephesians 5, "For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light." Amen. Let your actions verify your words. Don't say you're a Christian. Prove your Christianity. Amen. You were sometimes darkness. Not anymore. But now are you children in the Lord, light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth. Verse 10. Proving. Everybody say proving. Proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. Walk as children of light, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. Amen. That's the lifestyle of folks who are light in the Lord. They prove, they bear record, they show forth what is acceptable. Amen. Drop down to verse 15 of Ephesians 5. See then that ye walk circumspectly, walk accurately, walk diligently, pay attention. One definition means exactly. Walk exactly. Be particular about your lifestyle. See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Understanding what the will of the Lord is. Amen. Now I'll be honest with you tonight. Trying to put in words descriptive terms and a word picture here of how much that I have to present to you tonight. A few years ago, my wife and I were still traveling in evangelism. We were up in the Ohio Valley region, actually northern Ohio, upper Ohio area, and we were in between. We had closed out a weekend service and we're on our way to another revival. We had a few days, and so we drove over into Amish country in Pennsylvania, found an RV park and parked and just enjoyed 2 or 3 days of relaxing and sightseeing and just being a good old-fashioned tourist. And one of the many things that is special and notorious about that area is what they call smorgasbords. And they have these restaurants that are quite large, and they are known for their buffet lines. And one such place we went, the buffet line was 200 feet long. Now, I did not try everything. Amen. There was some repeats. You know, it was like the same thing three or four times. But and so there's no way I can serve tonight everything that I have. But I do want to mind God, and I want to feed the flock of God tonight. Amen. I want the Holy Ghost to help us. Amen. I want to be better when we're done tonight. Let me retract that. I want to be better when God's done tonight. If I let God finish, I will be better. Amen. I want to talk to us tonight about understanding the will of God. Amen. Would you lift up your hands in the presence of the Lord? Would you open up your heart? Would you let your spiritual appetite be whetted right now, Lord? Oh, I worship your name. Amen, amen. Please be seated. Lord bless you. Ephesians chapter 5 is really our primary focus tonight. And I want to read these verses of scripture that we have read from the fifth chapter of Ephesians in another version of scripture, the Amplified Bible. Reads, for once you were darkness, but now ye are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. Live as those who are native born to the light. Live as those who are native born. There are things that just come natural to natives. There are some things in various cultures and races and societies that just come by way of nativity. It is just common. It doesn't have to be instructed or taught. It comes natural. Amen. And when you are born into the family of God, the Bible says you have been born again. Every one of us here today obviously have a birthday. We have been born into the human family. Most of us, to God be the glory, have a spiritual birthday. The day that we were born into the family of God. And we became citizens of a heavenly country. And we took upon us the family name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Walk and live as those who are native born to the light. For the fruit, the effect, the result of the light consists in all goodness and righteousness and truth. Trying to learn by experience what is pleasing to the Lord. And let your lifestyles be examples of what is most acceptable to Him. Your behavior expressing gratitude to God for your salvation. Our lifestyle ought to be a praise unto God for calling us out of darkness into His marvelous light. It meant when somebody sees me, they need to be reminded. There needs to be a reflection of God's goodness. I need to show people the light. There ought to be a reflection of light shining in my life. That's the will of God. Amen. Live in your lifestyle as an example of what is most acceptable to God. Your behavior expressing gratitude. Not just your words, your behavior. My life is one big thank you, Jesus, for saving me. Amen. Continuing on in verse 15 in the Amplified Bible. Therefore, see that you walk carefully, living life with honor, purpose, and courage. Showing those who tolerate, or shunning those who tolerate and enable evil. Be particular about your company. There are some interactions that you can't help. There are some things that you will be exposed to just because you're living life. But I don't pursue those things. I don't try to make opportunity for those things. I don't seek that kind of company out. I don't call up my old friends and say, hey, what are you doing tonight? Now, I might do that. But soon following that is, we're having service tonight. Why don't you come hang out at church? Why don't you skip the bar and come to church? Why don't you call and tell them you can't make it to the party and come to revival with me? Amen. But if I'm going to spend time with those that I used to spend time with, they're going to come to where I go now. Amen. Why? The word of God declares, I shun those that tolerate evil. I shun those that enable evil. I'm not better than anybody. I'm not Mr. Goody Two Shoes. But I'm walking as a child of the light. And there are some places light don't go. Amen. Making the very most of your time. Don't be unwise, but live as wise. Be sensible, intelligent, and discerning people. Use good sense. There's just a lot of living for God that's just good common sense. I have no business going there. I have no business doing that. It's hard enough to overcome the temptations that come your way anyway without you facilitating more temptation because of foolish decisions. If you know it's going to be hard, why are you going there? Amen. Well, I think I'm helping somebody tonight. Make the most of your time on earth. Recognizing and taking advantage of each opportunity and using it with wisdom and diligence. Because the days are filled with evil. Therefore, because of this, don't be foolish and thoughtless, but understand and firmly grasp what the will of the Lord is. Do the will of God. But how can I do something I don't understand? Perhaps with rare exception, I believe it would be very rare tonight, everyone in this building tonight with adequate understanding wants to do the will of God. It is a very high priority. Amen. Nothing really means more to you than pleasing God and doing His will. It's not the only thing that's important, but it's the most important. Amen. I know sometimes it's easier said than done because sometimes I want to please myself. Many times I want to please my family. A lot of times I want to please my friends, but in my soul, in my heart of heart, I want to please the Lord. I understand if pleasing God means displeasing myself, I want to please the Lord anyway. If being pleasing to God is being displeasing to everybody else, I want to please the Lord. I want to do His will. Amen. Amen. We want the will of God in our lives. We want to live the will of God. We want God's will and purpose to be accomplished in every part of our life. How many understands that you have a purpose in this world? There was a reason God put you into this world. This is not just for church leadership or ministry. Every one of us tonight, God has a purpose. There's something. There is a reason you're in this world. Amen. Mordecai's words to Esther, who knoweth, but you are coming to the kingdom for such a time as this. Esther, this is God's purpose. This is why God allowed these things to unfold. You thought it was all pomp and circumstance. You thought it's because you had a nice complexion and a beautiful figure and you were easy to look at. Amen. But Esther, amen, it's more than your outward beauty. It's more than your mental capacity. It's the will of God in your life. And there's some hard and some dark days coming. But this is also part of God's will in your life. You're going to have to take a stand on your convictions, honey. For such a time as this. This is your purpose. God's purpose for your life is not just to exist. Just to go through life. Just to endure. But everybody's life has a purpose. And it's connected with the kingdom of God. Again, everybody, if you're in the church, your purpose is connected to the will of God. Amen. God fills you with the Holy Ghost. Your purpose is connected, amen, to the kingdom. Amen. Obviously, everybody's not singers. Everybody's not musicians. Everybody's not preachers. Amen. But everybody has a purpose in the kingdom. You shall receive power. Amen. Hoo-hoo. Amen. Preachers, musicians, teachers, saints, grandmas, grandpas, children, men, women, boys, girls, you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Amen. That wasn't a promise just to the disciples who will become apostles in the early church, but those that were gathered. There were women folk, there were men folk, there were young people, there were people that held down jobs, there were folks that lived quote unquote ordinary lives, just good citizens, just good people. And Jesus said to them, ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, unto the uttermost part of the earth. Amen. I want my purpose fulfilled. There's no greater satisfaction than knowing you're accomplishing what God put you into the world to do. There's nothing that can compare. I'm doing the will of God. Now, I remember as a young man growing up in church, and certainly as a young minister, wringing my hands about the will of God, the will of God, the will of God, the will of God. I want to do the will of God. I want to be in the will of God. I want to. And it, maybe I brought it on some of myself, but it seems like there was this certain mystique about God's will. The mystery of God's will. I've learned that the will of God is not hard to find. It finds you if you're findable. Let me say that again this way. You don't find the will of God. The will of God finds you. Now, how does the will of God find me? How do I facilitate God's will? The big picture. the specific assignment or the job description in heaven. Amen. I get up today and I do the will of God today. I do what God wants me to do today. There may be some unanswered questions. I know not everybody. I'm speaking to everyone here. And there's a lot of young eyes that are looking at me tonight. There's some young hearts that when I mention the will of God, your heart might skip a beat or two because, oh man, I just don't know if I'll ever know what the will of God is. I don't know if I'll ever figure out what the will of God is. I tell you what the will of God is. It's the will of God for you to be at church today. It's the will of God for you to lift up holy hands without wrath and doubting. It's the will of God for you to come early and pray and to participate in worship and to receive the ungrafted word of truth. It's the will of God for you to be receptive to His word. It's the will of God for you to be obedient to spiritual authority. It's the will of God for you to be faithful to the things of God. Oh, but Brother Walter, that's not mysterious. That's not mystical. That's so practical. Congratulations. The will of God is not complicated. God is not complicated. I know His ways are above our ways. And we read those scriptures, oh, as far as the heavens are above the earth, so are my ways above your ways and my thoughts. And I can never understand God. No, we'll never be like Him. We'll never be comparable or equal with Him. But we can understand Him because He wants to be understood. Far too many times the will of God is viewed and perceived as hard to be understood, achieved, and recognized. Amen. I want to remind you that we're serving a God that desires to be understood. Then open He their understanding that they might understand the Scripture. The way some ministry presents the Word of God and God, it's like only a select few can really ever understand it. And you'll have to take my word for it because you'll never be on my level. God's not getting glory out of that. Who's getting glory when the purpose and the will, the word, the ways of God are presented as only I understand them? Humanity has a tendency to idolize exclusivity. I'm the only one. I'm one of a rare few. There are those that call themselves apostolic preachers that have succumbed to that spirit. There are some things, I understand, that are exclusive to God's people. They belong to and are the right of God's people and no one else. But who is included in God's people? God's not a God of exclusion. He's a God of inclusion. There are some things that belong to only God's people, but anybody can be the people of God if they want to be. Whosoever will. Amen. Is that what your Bible reads in Revelation 22 and 17? The Spirit and the Bride say, come. Let him that heareth say, come, and let him that is athirst come, and whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. You can be a part of God's kingdom if you want to be. Amen. John chapter 3. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but the world through Him might be saved. That's why Jesus came. Amen. So that you could be saved. So that you could be included. So that you could be a part of the kingdom. So you could be in that number that John said, I saw. Amen. It was an innumerable host. No man could number. Out of every tribe and nation and tongue. And they sang a new song. Amen. And they had the robes of white. And they cast their crowns at the feet of the Lamb of God. I intend to be there. Men, John 1, we're reminded as many as received Him, to them How many? As many as received him. Accepted him for who he is. He came. Who are we talking about? We're talking about Jesus. He came unto his own. Now, we're not just talking about Jesus, the man. We're talking about Jesus, the Son of God, God's flesh, God manifest in the flesh. Because John 1 and 1 says, in the beginning was the Word, the thought, the plan. God had a plan. Adam and Eve did not surprise God. In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him. Without him was anything made that was made. He goes on and starts talking about the light. And there was one that came to bear witness of the light. He was not that light. Amen. And we know he's talking about Jesus Christ. And he came unto his own, the Jewish people. And his own received him not. Who? The Word. That Word in verse 14 that was made flesh. And dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. The glory is of the only begotten of the Father. Jesus Christ, God manifest, made known, made visible in the flesh. God come as a man into the world. He came, but they didn't receive him because they couldn't believe who he said he was. He would say things like this, before Abraham was, I am. They didn't receive him. They took up stones to stone him. Because thou being a man hast made thyself God. No, you've got it backwards. It's not man making himself God. It's God that has made himself man. He's not confused. Paul writes to the church at Philippi. Amen. He thought it not robbery to be equal with God. Satan says, I'll be like the Most High, and got kicked out. Because God said in Isaiah, beside me there is no Satan. Jesus could say, I and my Father are one, and be speaking the truth. Because he's not Jehovah Jr. He's not the second person in the Trinity, because there's no Trinity for him to be a second person of. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one. In the beginning, God. All inclusive. Amen. Beside me, there is no Savior. Well, Jesus is the Son, and then there's the Father, and I'll read where he's a jealous God. He won't give his glory to another.
That's right, yes, sir.
Oh. And while we're trying to figure out who is who and what's what, the angel, who evidently I would assume that a messenger sent from heaven to tell Mary what's going down, probably is pretty well informed.
Yes, sir. Right. Amen.
I mean, he probably knows what he's talking about, and he said the Holy Ghost is going to overshadow you. And so if there's three, that makes the Spirit, the Holy Ghost, the Father. And so the Father's not really the Father. The Holy Ghost is the Father. Now we've got confusion, and the Bible says God's not the author of confusion. We've got identity crisis, and God knows who he is. Amen. And so as many as received him. Amen. You've got to receive him for who he is. You've got to accept him for who he is. You've got to align yourself according to his word, as many as. It doesn't matter how many, but if you'll do it on his terms, he's got room for you. Amen. I'll make room for you in my kingdom. As many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. Let's clap our hands unto the Lord. Notice the next verse, John 1 and 13, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Born of God. Amen. Amen. And so, this glory factor is a big deal. And making parts of the kingdom exclusionary for a select few. No, if you're in the kingdom, you have a right to it all. You're a child of God. You're a son of God. You have a right to his inheritance. I'm in the family. I have a right. 1 Corinthians 1, 25, because the foolishness of God is wiser than men. And the weakness of God is stronger than men. God never has a bad day, but if he ever has one, his bad day is better than your good day. For you see your calling, brethren. Notice this. How that not many wise men after the flesh. Not many mighty, not many noble are called. Now, I don't think I'm doing this a disservice because God loves everybody. The invitation goes out to whosoever will, but there's some folks that just won't. The wise, the mighty, the noble, the uppity, the better than you, the successful, filled with themselves. Full of themselves, pride, arrogance, self-sufficiency. I don't need God. That's why Jesus said, I didn't come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Those that think they don't need anything won't respond. Now, there were educated people that responded. There were successful people that responded. It's not because if I'm a certain personality type or a certain status of monetary success that God don't have time. No, he's got time for everybody if you'll respond, whosoever will. Amen. But the Bible says God had chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. God has chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. The base things of the world, the things which are despised, hath God chosen, yea, the things which are not, to bring to naught the things that are. Why? That no flesh should glory in his presence. Amen. I want to send that attitude back to hell where it was belched out of. Amen. Only a select few can really know the will of God. And you've got to be so much and do so much and have this spiritual understanding. And you've got to have this degree of enlightenment. No. Amen. That's giving glory to man. That's giving accolades to somebody's accomplishments. God wants his will unfolded in your life. God has a purpose for you. Why would he hide it? Why would God that gave his life to include you in his kingdom keep certain things in his kingdom away from you? We're going to have serious contradictions because the Bible says of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end. And if God is holding things back because you're not qualified, you're not good enough, he's limiting his own kingdom and he's contradicting his own word. Amen. Some of you got that deer in the headlights. Yeah. Because I'm butting heads with an old attitude and a perspective and a perception that you've had about God's will being so hard. And God's will being unattainable and God's will not being revealed. And amen, living my whole life never knowing the will of God. You don't have to live that way. Why would a God, I'm going to say it again, that has a purpose for you, hide that purpose? I know there are some things that come in time. There are some things that if we knew we're coming, we might check out early. There are some parts of God's will that he knows best to keep from us. But there's a will of God every day. Everybody say amen. Amen. The ultimate will of God. That main agenda that thing that sometimes we put out there, this is the will of God. Understand your place, your purpose, your position, your place in the kingdom, your role in the church. I get all that. And that part of God's will doesn't happen overnight. It happens every day. Because I never have to worry about not reaching that place if I reach the place I'm to reach every day. Doing the will of God today. I feel the Holy Ghost here. Amen. I'll try not to be too much longer. I'm really, amen, just getting started. But I understand time is of the essence. Amen. 1 Peter 4:2. That he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh to the lust of men, but to the will of God. To the will. Live to the will of God. Everybody say, God has a will.
God has a will.
Amen. Ephesians chapter 6, beginning of verse 5. Now, Paul is dealing with everyday life. Everybody say, everyday life. Now back then, it was a lot of everyday life was servants and masters. That was just part of life. There was no what we might classify middle class as much then as there is now. It was those that had and those that worked or were owned by those that had. It's those that had and those that were had. You were either the owner or the owned, the master or the slave or the servant. And it was part of the dynamic and the culture. And it there were masters and servants that went to church together. That was a challenge, brothers and sisters, because when they got to church, they weren't master and servant, they were brother and sister. And that was a challenge for everybody. But God's grace was sufficient. But he writes in normal day-to-day life, servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh. You have, you're a slave, you're a servant, you're an indentured servant, you have a master. Be obedient unto them with fear and trembling, notice, and singleness of your heart, as unto Christ, not with eye service as men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. Amen. Who's ever hiding behind the monitor back there? Ephesians 6:6. Put that up there, please. I'm sorry. I know you weren't really hiding, but that's just a big monitor. Who's back there, by the way, so I can call you by name next time? Okay. Thank you, Brother Charlie Butler. Not with eye service, as men pleasers. I'm not doing this to make my master happy.
Right.
I'm not doing this just to fit in or to be accepted, but I'm serving my master.
Yeah.
But in reality, I'm serving God.
Right
now, this is my life. This is my day-to-day life. This is, I get up and I get ready and I go to work. I get up, I get ready, I go to school. I get up, I get ready. I have this responsibility, this physical day-to-day responsibility. There's a lot of folks that never do the will of God because they want to spiritualize everything. And there's no way that the will of God can be connected with my job. It's connected tremendously. Because the will of God for you today is to do the will of God from the heart. What is the will of God? Go to work and be the best you can be.
Yes,
sounds familiar, I know. This sounds recent, I know. Amen, but it bears repeating. Go to school and be the best you can be. Amen. Doing the will of God from the heart. Right. Amen. Come on, don't just clap your hands because you're asked to. Amen. Amen. Wait. Don't just lift up your hands when you're asked to and look around and most everybody is. I don't want to fit in. Come on, but engage your heart. Do what you're asked to do with the right spirit. Give your best in everything that you do. Amen. Not just to make a good impression. Not just to make spiritual authority proud of you. Amen, because when it gets right down to it, everything I do, every responsibility I fulfill, God's involved. Next verse, verse 7, please. With good will, doing service as to the Lord and not to men. Verse 8, knowing that whatsoever good thing any man doeth, the same shall he receive of the Lord, whether he be bond or free. I'm going to do good things today. Or can I say it this way? I'm going to do things good today. Oh, somebody shout in Jesus' name. Amen. 1 Thessalonians 4. Furthermore, we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus, that as you have received of us how you ought to walk, and to please the Lord, so you would abound more and more. For you know what commandments we gave you by the Lord Jesus. For this is the will of God. Amen. We're talking about saints in the church. Amen. These folks lived in Thessalonica. These were the Thessalonians. Amen. These were a lot like the Ephesians who used to be darkness. But now they are light. Amen. How many wants to know what the will of the Lord is? This is the will of God. Even your sanctification, that you should abstain from fornication. Behave yourself. Live wholesome and clean and godly and holy lives. No, I've got a lot. I'll stop with this setting. It might take me 15 more minutes. I promise you, God being my helper, I'll stop with 1 Thessalonians 4. Amen. I feel like I've just put salad on my plate. Haven't even got to the good stuff yet. Amen. Amen. Was talking to someone recently about separation and holiness, about holy lifestyle, separation from the world. And I got somewhat of a revelatory perspective. Because we see separation as how far we are from the world. Separation and holiness is not always about how far you are from the world. It's how close you are to God. Right. Yes, sir. Let's roll the clock back 100 years. And there was still a demand from God in the 1920s to be separate. Right. I mean, this was not added recently. This has been in the book for a long time. Come out from among them and be you separate, saith the Lord, and I will receive you. Touch not the unclean thing and I will receive you. I'll be a father. It's been in there for a long time. And so apostolics in the 1920s were called to be holy and separate from the world. Holy unto God. Separate from the world. Am I right? But let's be honest. There wasn't as much difference then as there is now. And let's just say those that were really holy and separate, those that were living and dressing and acting right, let's say, for example's sake, they were this far from the world in 1920. They're living the life they're supposed to live. They're dressing the way they're supposed to dress. They're acting the way. But there was a lot of wholesome people that weren't apostolic in the 1920s. There were a lot of modest living people that weren't Jesus name folks in the 1920s. They weren't saved, but there wasn't as much distance between apostolics and everybody else in 100 years ago. But thanks be unto God, in 2021, we're further than this from the world. Because if it's as long as we stay this far from the world, the world keeps getting further and further from God. And if I just stay that far from the world, amen, I get further and further from God. I submit to you that the apostolic church is just as close to God now as it was 100 years ago. Further from the world, but just as close to God. Because the world is not my barometer. Hollywood is not my trendsetter. I don't base what I do on what the world does. And amen, I'm just as far from the world now as they were 100 years ago. Amen, that means you're a lot further away from God. And the will of the Lord is to abstain from fornication. Don't use your body, your soul, your heart. I know fornication in its most base sense is sexual sin and immorality. But there's a principle involved here that says you are a temple of God. You are a child of God. Act according to your identity. This is the will of God. That every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor. Oh God. Not in the lust of concupiscence, even as the Gentiles, which know not God. There's some people that are bound by the world, but you're supposed to be free. It's not okay just because everybody else is doing it. It's not how many other apostolic churches are doing it. It's how does God feel about this? Amen. 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 The Holy Ghost is helping us right now. For God has not called us to uncleanness, but unto holiness. This is the will of God. Amen. He therefore that despiseth not man, but God, who hath also given unto us his Holy Spirit. This is the will of God. Amen. Amen. Verse 11 of 1 Thessalonians 4. And that, somebody say, this is the will of God. And that ye study to be quiet, doing your own business. This is the will of God. Keep your nose where it belongs, on your face, not in someone else's business. You look like a freak with your displaced nasal cavity. Now you can look at a skeleton and know where its nose used to be because there's a... Amen, but you can't look at a skeleton and tell how big a nose it had when it was in the flesh. It just, there's a hole there. Amen, You look like something that walks the streets in late October. Now, I know that's a little humorous, but this is the will of God. He's not talking to sinners. He's talking to saints. Mind your business. Study. Put effort. Make diligent effort to be quiet. There are some things, oh God help me right now. There are some things that you hear that need to stay put. You need to have enough diligence and enough discernment I have no business. I shouldn't have heard it to start with. I'm certainly not going to tell somebody else. This is the will of God. Do your own business and to work with your own hands. Take care of your responsibilities. This is the will of God. And that you may walk honestly. Oh God, here it is. Walk honestly toward them that are without. Be a real Christian every day. This is the will of God. Would you stand and lift your hands right now? Let's thank God for His presence that wants to come in here right now. I feel His anointing. Oh, Jesus. In the name of the Lord. 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 I worship you, Jesus. Oh, I worship your name, oh God. Come on, let's call upon His name. Oh, hallelujah. If anything is done as unto the Lord, it ought to be what we do at church. Come on, this should be the easiest thing we do as unto the Lord. This ought to be the easiest thing, amen, to give our best at. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. I worship you. I love you, Jesus.